This is it. This is our last Sunday in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, we'll be reading once again verses 16 through 20. This is the holy word of God. Listen carefully. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word, and the congregation said, Amen. Well, today, as you all know, many around the world are gathering to acknowledge the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is good to do so. And I also think it's very fitting that we end our study of the Gospel of Matthew on this day, looking specifically at the promise that we find in the Great Commission. Promise that needs the resurrection. As a matter of fact, without the resurrection, there's no Great Commission. Because Jesus rose, he met his apostles. Because Jesus rose, he gave them this Great Commission. Because of his resurrection, all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth, so he can command not only his apostles, but his church to go forth and make disciples for him. And as we saw last week, here is the purpose of the church. The church is not to seek power or peace. The church is to make disciples for Jesus Christ. And we make disciples by going, baptizing, and teaching all that Jesus has commanded. How do we know our purpose is going to succeed? The answer lies not only in the authority of Jesus, but in the promise that he made at the end of verse 20. "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." As I mentioned the first week we studied the Great Commission, this gospel ends where it began. If you remember how this gospel begins, it begins with the hope of Emmanuel, God with us. The hope was Emmanuel would come and save his people. And Matthew shows in this gospel that Emmanuel has come. He came as a servant. He walked this earth. He suffered as you and I do. He endured all the temptations and trials found on this earth. And amid his sufferings, he had compassion on his people. He healed them. He taught them. He called them to repentance. Jesus, our Emmanuel, came to ease our burdens. He came to be our ransom, and therefore he died for our sins. And yet Jesus, as Emmanuel, promised that death would not be the end, that he would rise again and be with his people. And he did as he promised. And now at the end of this gospel, as he sends his apostles into the nations to make disciples for him, he promises he will continue to be Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us. And Jesus will always remain God with us. He will be with his people to the end of the age. I want you to ponder that for a moment. We've all gathered this morning to worship the triune God. We've all come to not only sing his praises, but to hear his word, to acknowledge he is the one who was and is to come. And we've all come together, and yet this past week has been different for all of us, hasn't it? Some of you have come here this morning out of frustration. Some of you out of joy. Some of you have had great success this past week, and some of you are coming from failure. Some of you have experienced the unexpected, and for others, it's just been the same routine, day in and day out. And in all that you have experienced, this promise remains true. For those united to Jesus this past week, Jesus has been with you in the good and in the bad, in the exciting and in the mundane. How can this be? Well, you and I know the answer through studying this gospel, because Jesus is God. Jesus can make this promise, because look at what he's done. He's risen from the dead. The tomb is empty because Jesus conquered sin and death. And therefore, the one who has conquered enemies that you and I cannot is able to promise a promise you and I can never make. He will always be with his people. Today, several of us are away from loved ones. For some, this is due to distance, and for others, it's due to death. No matter how much we love our family and friends, we can never promise we will always be with them. If you do, you're lying, and you know it. There are times in our own family when Coralie and I do a simple thing like go for a walk, and Kara gets agitated. She doesn't like the idea that she full of cheers and hugs. It's the greatest thing ever. And I know she's going to grow out of it, which is sad. And yet it's done because she wants our presence. And she doesn't like our absence. Separation from loved ones is hard for her. And I am pretty sure everyone in this room can relate. Maybe it's saying goodbye to parents or siblings or friends. You don't want them to go, and yet you know they must. When there's a reunion, it is sweet. And yet at the parting, sorrow happens once again. You and I can never promise we are always with someone because we are finite. You cannot be in two places at once. There are limitations on us because of our physical body. You and I are confined due to time and space. There will always be a time when physically we're not present with others. Jesus promises that he will always be with his apostles until the end of the age. And it is good for us to ask, how can this be? Because Jesus has a physical body, and we know he ascended into heaven. And we know through Scripture he is at the right hand of God. So how can Jesus promise to always be with us? And here you and I must understand something called the hypostatic union of Christ. That he is fully God and fully man. That he has two natures in one person. That he is fully divine and he is fully human. And so we have to ask, well, is Jesus stating that he will bodily be present? Well, how he words this, and through the testimony of the rest of Scripture, the answer is clearly no. Jesus' physical body ascends to heaven, and yet Jesus is not limited to his physical body. And the best illustration for this is from the Gospel of John with the calling of Nathanael. Do you remember that? When he calls Nathanael at the very beginning of the Gospel of John, Jesus announces to Nathanael that he saw him under the fig tree, and how Nathanael responds, you are to understand, no one else was with Nathanael at the fig tree. He's amazed at this, and because Jesus has said this, Nathanael declares that he is the Messiah. Jesus in the Gospel of John is demonstrating his divine nature is not limited by his physical body. Though physically absent, he saw Nathanael. Jesus' promise to remain to the end of the age doesn't deal with his human nature, but his divine nature. He has all the divine attributes of the rest of the Godhead. So just as the Father and the Spirit can be everywhere, cannot be in two places at once. Jesus has how this promise will be accomplished is due to Jesus being divine. And we're prepared for this in this gospel. And we are especially prepared for this due to his resurrection. Jesus has done something no human has done before or after. He laid down his life and then took it back up again, as he declared in the Gospel of John. Jesus can rightly then make a promise to be with his apostles to the end of the age. It is done because Jesus is divine, and then we must ask this, so who's the promise for? Because it's a glorious promise, but is it only to the 11? Is it limited to only them? Do we get second best? Well, how this is worded, the answer is no. Jesus is with them to the end of the age. This phrase denotes the end of time, not the end of the apostles' life. The wording suggests that this is for more than just the 11. And Scripture picks up on this. For instance, in Hebrews 13, listen to what it says in verse 5. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Notice the logic that is given here to the church. The church is to be free from the love of money and to be content with what they have. Why? Because God is with them. And then in verse 8 it says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The continual presence of the triune God is to help the church be content in all circumstances. Why? Because their God is with them. Well, what person of the Godhead? And the answer is all three. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are with you. They never leave you. They never forsake you. They are with you continuously. Hebrews assumes that God's presence is never absent from a believer's life. So the promise is made for the church, and yet you and I have to narrow this down further, just as I have already done. Is the promise for the visible church or the invisible church? Is the promise for anyone who shows up? You walk through the doors and guess what? Jesus is now with you. Go ahead and do whatever you want. Or is it only for a specific group? From the totality of Scripture, it is clear that this promise is only for those who are united to Jesus by faith. For instance, think of Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17. Listen to what he prays for us. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you've given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Notice his prayer. It's not to the visible church. It's not for the visible church. It's for those who will believe in him through the word of the apostles, those who will be united to him by faith. We call this the invisible church, or we call this the elect. His prayer in John 17 sheds light on his promise in Matthew 28. The promise is not for those who attend church, but for those whose faith is in Christ. Jesus promises to always be with those who are united to him by faith. And therefore, the challenge of this promise is that we have to examine our faith. Are we united to Christ? Do we have more than just a passing knowledge, a passing acquaintance with Jesus? So how this promise is accomplished is due to Jesus being divine. Who this promise is for are those who by faith are united to Christ. And finally, I want us to consider, what does this promise mean for us today? You see, this promise yanks the resurrection out of a once-a-year thing that points to some unforeseen future and brings it into our everyday lives. The promise of the resurrection is that Jesus is with you now and will always be. His presence is here for those who are united to him. And what that means is on your worst day, in that soul-crushing moment, you're not alone. The resurrection is not about what will happen, but what is happening right now. Jesus is with his people. And he's not there as an observer. He is the one present to protect you, to sustain you, and to help you overcome your worst temptations, your greatest fears, and the most horrible disasters in your life. Jesus is your strength in those moments of misery. And he's also your joy in those times of peace and in those moments of laughter. He is with you always, sharing in it and making it possible. He's the one who shields you from your sinful desires and protects you from harm. He's the one who comforts you in loss, in pain, and in loneliness. He is Emmanuel, God with us, God with you. He gives you hope. He gives you joy. He's not some distant monarch watching you struggle through this life going, "Really? That's the best you can do?" No. He's right at your side. When you stumble, he's the one who picks you up. When you succeed, he's the one who's given you strength. When you weep, he's your comforter. When you give into temptation, he's the one interceding for you. When you fall into sin, he's the one pleading before the throne that his blood covers and atones for what you've done. He is present as you do dishes, change diapers, fix the fence, clean the car, struggle at work, and laugh with your friends. Jesus is there for those great conversations and for those awkward ones. He never leaves. He's the reason you come to worship, and he's your strength to worship. He's present in your chaotic messes and present in those peaceful moments of joy. He was there at your first breath, and he will be there at your last. You see, the promise that he makes at the end of Matthew brings the resurrection home to everyone who hopes in him for salvation from their sins. And that promise makes the resurrection more than a yearly celebration, but the reason for our life. Jesus is the one through the Spirit who gives you faith to believe in his words, and he walks alongside you every step of your journey to glory. There's not a moment where he is absent. Think of the size of this universe. Think of all that is contained. Think of the amazing pictures we are seeing with the latest and greatest telescopes. Think of all the power it takes to keep this universe running, and not once does it cause your Savior to abandon your side. Because he has promised that he is always with his people to the end of the age. This promise is what establishes every local church as the Great Commission goes out across the globe. And it's the promise that will keep all of his people until he returns. And this promise should shape how we act and think and speak. Jesus is always with us. And for some, as I say these words, it may sound like he's a boogeyman or a nosy neighbor. It shouldn't. And if that's where you go, then brothers and sisters, I would challenge you right now, examine your faith. Because if you're weirded and grossed out by the idea of Jesus always with you, then you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. And you don't know Jesus as he's declared in his gospel. Jesus always with us means you will be changed. You will get victory over that ongoing sin, that temptation that always rises its ugly head and you seem never to be able to defeat one day because Jesus is always with you. It will be finally put to death. It means you will be transformed. Now, is there a limit to this promise? Yes, I've already mentioned it. It's a promise only to those who believe in Him, who are united to Him by faith. It is not a promise that every local church will always exist, and it's not a promise that is given out randomly, and it's not a promise that makes Jesus beholden to you. It is not a promise that excuses sin, nor is it a promise that says you will avoid all the miseries of this life. But it is a promise that for everyone united to Jesus, that they are never abandoned no matter the circumstances. Considering this promise this morning, how do you celebrate Jesus' resurrection? Is it merely a yearly event to get dressed up for? Is it a time of reflection that will soon be eclipsed by your daily life? Or is it your life? Is it what motivates you day by day? Is it what gets you out of bed in the morning and allows you to sleep peacefully at night? Because He is always with you. In the good and in the bad, in the peace and in the struggle, you hear His word, you read it, and you know that Jesus is your Emmanuel. He is God with you. And my hope and my prayer this morning is that as we've pondered this wonderful promise, I am always with you to the end of the age, that each one of us are able to say, this is my Jesus. And this is the reason for my existence. Because the one who rose from the dead so loves me that He is constantly with me. So I know that glory awaits me. I will not be defeated. I will not be forgotten. And when I close my eyes for that last time and take that last breath, at that very moment, I will hear Him. And I will awaken and finally see Him face to face. Oh, I hope all of us have that hope. And if you don't, then may today be the day of your salvation. Cry out to Him, Jesus, I want you always. I want to know this promise so that when I go to sleep tonight, I can rest. And so I wake up in the morning and I have a greater purpose, an eternal purpose fulfilled by you. Let us pray. O most glorious God and King, Father, we thank You for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And we thank You for the promise that He has made, that He is with His people always to the end of the age, that there will be no circumstance that removes us from His presence, that there will be no action done on our behalf or another's that can remove His presence. And because He is with us always, we know what awaits us. Everlasting glory and love in the presence of the triune God because of what You have done. Oh, may this be our hope, now and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.